from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Happy Thanksgiving. And in this special edition of Forum, we bring you two more interviews from Forum's archives. First, Academy Award-winning filmmaker Ang Lee. His 20-year career includes a diverse range of films like The Ice Storm, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and Brokeback Mountain. His latest film, Life of Pi, opened yesterday in theaters nationwide. And at 10:30, best-selling author Louise Erdrich, the author of 13 novels and a number of volumes of poetry, short stories, and children's books. She won the National Book Critics Circle Award for her early work, Love Medicine. Her newest book is The Round House, and that's all next on Forum, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Yann Mattel's best-selling Booker Award-winning novel, The Life of Pi, about a boy and a Bengal tiger lost at sea, is now, after 10 years in the works, a film, thanks to Taiwanese-born Academy Award-winning director Ang Lee, who joins us in studio. Ang Lee's 20-year career includes a diverse range of films, Sense and Sensibility, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Brokeback Mountain, which he won an Academy Award for. So good to have you here.
I'm glad to be here.
Pleased to have you, and thank you for being with us. Well, the smart money in Hollywood would say...
Smart money.
Smart money in Hollywood would say, don't make a movie for kids, don't make a movie about animals, don't movie in water or in 3D, and you did all four, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, you're taking chances right away when you're going into this kind of territory, yes?
Yeah, when you like something, you want to make something, you sort of forget about, you only think about the good side, not underestimate the bad side. So, yeah, it's a risk, but I live for this kind of thing. It's indeed an adventure. Yeah.
You really wanted to make this novel into a movie, didn't you? I mean, you were hooked by this novel.
Yeah. But when I first read it, I didn't think it should be made into a movie. It would be too expensive to do justice, just the economic side and the artistic side. It's like an irrational number of pi. It would go on and on. They would never meet. But then I thought maybe if I add another dimension, such as 3D, maybe it'll happen. That was a kind of a silly thought. But I did think of that. I did think sometimes things are so unusual that nobody knows what to do or how to control it, and maybe you can think and work out of the frame. So that's one of those things. It's been haunting. I'm not going to say it's the best book I ever read, but it's haunting. It has elements that's very inspiring. It's mind-boggling. It's so unsettling that I feel I want to do something about it.
Was it the spiritual element of it, which has often been emphasized, that haunted you?
Storytelling, the power of storytelling. That's related to spiritual.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a book or a movie that actually make you believe in God, but it give you a taste of what faith might be taste like, and it raises the questions. You go for the search, and then you also want to talk among people. You want to talk with people. You discuss. Usually, faith is something we don't really discuss, or because it's something it's very hard to rationalize it. If you rationalize it, it's not faith. Because if you can prove it, that's not faith. You need to take a leap. But then when you do that, what's the point of discussing? So it's something up in the air, mysterious. I think the book provide a platform for people to talk about, to think about it. By the way, and it introduced the power of storytelling, because I think in some ways life doesn't really make sense. It's not human. You know, it goes on God or nature. It just go on in its own way, and which when we try to comprehend it, when we try to communicate it, we need to make up stories. And a story gives a beginning, middle, and end. It's a structure. So I think it's really a material about talking the power of storytelling, why we believe in it, and what the word believe means.
I think it's also a love story. I mean, more
yes,
than...
Yes, unrequited love story.
Yes.
The boy loves the tiger. The tiger does his own thing. It doesn't look back when he leaves. The tiger has emotion, but it's animal emotions, not human emotions. in telling a story, particularly making movie or Hollywood movie in particular, we make animals do what we want them to do. We want God to do what we want them to do. But in the real world, it's not. So it's really challenging. It challenges why you make movie, how you watch movie, how you tell stories, how you share a story, and how you listen to a story. All those things, that it's very thought-provoking. It's just haunting me. So in a way, on that process, I forgot that this is a very challenging project. I just have to make it work. I do my best.
Well, you did a spectacular job. I mean, the visuals in this film and the scenes with the tiger, things that Siegfried and Roy could have never dreamed up come into passing. And it's, you know, we're out in the ocean. We're with them, with Pai and the tiger. And many of the scenes are really visually quite stunning and beautiful. I mean, I'm not here to hype your movie, but I want to tell you just some of my personal reactions to it. I was also just, haunting is the word that you keep using, and there are things in the book and the movie that are haunting, and you bring it visually alive. There was a scene, though, for example, and I don't want to give away too much of the plot or what you do visually, but there's a scene where the father, who is a man of reason, the boy is going to give meat to the tiger, and he's testing his faith in some way and trying to connect with and communicate with this beast, this ferocious tiger, burning bright, as Blake would say. and going into the tiger's cage to feed him meat, the father grabs him and says, "I want to show you what tigers do," and then takes a small animal and feeds it to the tiger, and the boy sees it. Now, as a filmmaker, you could have shown us that, because you showed us a lot of a lot of animals attacking other animals and so forth in the course of the movie, but chose not to, because
I think this is when a movie is quite different than a book. It's very direct. It demands your attention. You're watching something in photorealistic fashions. I think it'll be very hard to watch if you go directly. It's just too graphic. And the viewers, particularly younger ones, sometimes I found that the older ones has more problem with it, might shut off. If something that stimulate, they may shut off, then you have no feelings. So I think cut away or cut to reaction shot may be the best thing. I even didn't use too gross of a sound, I remember.
No, you didn't. You make our imagination.
I tune it down, yeah.
You got our imagination. You never used a real tiger in this movie either, did you?
I did. That 23 shots.
Well, there were four tigers that you used, but I mean, there was no real tiger.
With the boy. No, I wouldn't risk that boy's life to do this scene.
But it's so vivid, and you know, you're there. Why did you decide to do 3D with this? What was your rationale?
The 2000. No, I decided before I know what 3D is all about.
I
saw some cartoon. I just imagine a new media may open up the chance of this movie. That's all there is. And then I did my research, my work, and it's kind of scary. Like anything new, you don't quite trust it. I don't know if I could trust that the new illusion of 3D. I thought from my research, I think it'll do water really well. I think it's very hard to sit through a movie with a boy and a tiger on the Pacific Ocean, and we don't have Tom Hanks. So,
nor Tobey Maguire, who, by the way, I think at least in the movie was supposed to be initially the writer in the story, I guess. You put a big gamble on a new actor at the center of the film.
Yes, I think the best thing is you have the audience sit along with him. I think 3D water will actually bring a new sensation. You actually feel like you're sitting there.
You can get seasick watching this film, actually.
I use many techniques to avoid seasickness. I could rock it a lot more, but I didn't. And I fixed the horizon so it doesn't go up and down on you. Just the character go up and down, but the horizon doesn't. That really help to anchor the audience, and they don't vomit. I don't need a throw-up bag and the back of the seats for everybody. But I think it will do 3D very well. And also, I think a new media, a new sensation might bring you up to the state that you're thinking about the subject matter of faith and all that. After all, I think it's something new. It's a new cinematic media. I don't think it should be totally compared to 2D. Is it better or worse? It's just its own thing. I'm glad I get the chance to work on it. It's clumsy to work with yet. The projection is not perfect yet, but it's just in the beginning that we're learning about it. We explore it. I hope the audience come along with us. Yeah.
You think we're going to go to more digital movies and more 3D?
Digital, yes, whether we like it or not. It's going to disappear next year. It happened so fast that as everybody was surprised how fast it happened. Yes, digital, definitely we're going there. 3D, I think it will coexist with 2D. It's different way of approaching visual art. Yeah.
The diversity of your films, as I said, you know, you even made a movie, The Hulk, which probably many of our listeners have seen.
And, right here.
Yeah, that's right, in San Francisco. And Brokeback Mountain and Sense and Sensibility. I mean, it's a range that's really unlike many filmmakers. And something just grabs you? Is that what happens? And you've got to make that film 2 years out of your life? You're committed to it?
Yeah, I didn't have a master plan 20 years ago when I started, and I didn't have a checklist. But different things grasp me. And I think in marriage, we have to stay loyalty. But artistic media approach, I don't think we need it. Yeah, I like fresh things. I'm an avid filmmaker. I would like to go to a forever film school. I like to learn how to make those movies. They're wonderful to approach different type of people, different type of genres. They all satisfy a lot of my curiosity about the media, filmmaking. I think it's a fortunate life I have that I get to explore all this. And also, I fought for it. You know, when you make something successful, people will pigeonhole you. They give you some materials, and you have to fight against it. And every time you have to go out there to prove that you can do that genre. It took at least 5-6 movies to give people confidence that you can do different things. So I struggle with it, and I enjoy doing it. That's the, it's not something I really choose. It's also I've been fortunate I get to do it.
Well, your wonder comes through, particularly in this film. We're talking, by the way, with Ang Lee. His new film is The Life of Pi, and it is a film all about faith and certainly a spiritual adventure as well as a love story, as I said before, and all his films are different. There's also an interview that you did where you said that you'd look at filmmaking in terms of tenderness and humility, and these aren't usually the words one associates with directors. talk about that. I mean, that idea that you approach something not only with awe, like you did in this movie, but with a sense of humility.
I think you have to. 'Cause we're small people, and movies much larger than life. You have to approach it with humanity, you know, it just have to. And you're in awe as you're making something. When something happens in front of you, even though you have this ego, you have this desire to stage something, to put out your vision, but when it happens along with real people, and it still shocks you and humble you, you have to do that. And also being humble is the way to keep your sensitivity going. That you're sensitive, you're not dictating some image that are happening, but you are actually allow something to happen. So I think that's a necessity, not just because I'm a shy person. I think you just have to keep the whole process organic and lively. But I'm not going to say I don't have ambitions. Sometimes it does have. I do feel my ambition. Everything, every person have two sides. That's the inner side, the inner beast, such as the tiger in the movie.
The tiger
it's
within.
Hidden. The, yeah. It's a hidden dragon or the crouching tiger.
Yeah, tigers have been an important role in your life as a filmmaker. Do you find that...
It wants to come out. Yeah. It wants to come out. And then as you're doing it, you have to be humble and learning at the whole time. Be flexible. I think it's they happen intermittently for me.
This is an expensive film to make, as you indicated earlier, and also very challenging because, the truth about Brokeback Mountain, you're taking fiction and you're turning it into film. You're taking a medium that requires a visual imagination of a reader and turning it into the visual nature of what film is.
Right.
More of a challenge than,
what
say, just
is
getting
what
a
it is. Yeah.
I just wondered, is this more of a challenge than getting just a regular script without its literary anchoring or background that you get in a novel or story?
Well, movie scripts, I think a lot of people agree with me too, it's blueprint. It's not like a play that you can use as text, you can read it as literature. I think a film script is, nobody really studied them. They're the blueprint, the starting point of making a movie. So yes, we've been literal on the pages of a screenplay. But the end thing is a vision. And movies, what you see is what it is. It's very direct. And you sit there for 2 hours. You're not going to the bathroom. You're not having a beer or go to sleep and come back and watch it again. It's not quite like that, especially in the movie theater. So it's mandatory to your attention. It's very real. So words is only suggestion. You know, it's a way of communicating to the other filmmakers who understand the media, how to go about things. So that's just a stepstone.
But it's taking one genre and turning it into another, really.
Yes, you have to. Even though you want to be loyal to the book, you have to change that to make it happen. They're by nature very different.
Yeah, I kept thinking, what would it be like
to not translated to the words.
To spend 227 days. With that. I mean, you have to sort of compress that make it felt by the audience. What drew you to Brokeback Mountain? What drew you to Brokeback Mountain, to that story?
Of course, not familiarity, but there's some, at the gut level, it moved me. There's nothing further away from my life experience than Wyoming gay cowboys. So why was I crying at the end of the short story when I read it? So that's a mystery, and that's the mystery in Brokeback Mountain. And again, that's haunting. And it's challenging. I really want to make that movie. So I cannot really rationalize why I wanted, you know, in an interview like this, I have to rationalize, articulate why I do certain things. But when it happened, I didn't know. And when at the end of making a movie, I didn't know either. It's just I want to do it. So that short story, even before I read the script, the short story made me want to make that movie. It's haunting me for about 3 years before I decide to make the leap. I think it's just very human story, very profound. It has a lot of repression and something missing, disappointing in life that haunts you, that's chewing and biting you. And that I want to share that feeling I had when I read the story to the movie audience. I want to share that experience. I want to recreate that experience I had when I read it.
Same with Sense and Sensibility with Jane Austen?
A little different. That was probably the only work-for-hire job I did. Mm. The producer, Lindsay Duran, and Emma Thompson, who wrote the script, approached me. They saw my second movie, The Wedding Banquet. Somehow they think I'm the person to do Jane Austen, and they approached me. Again, it feels like that's something I knew what to do. In my first three movies, I was doing the same thing, except I have to do it in English, in the major league, and period. So that was the challenge. But it's something, it's quite in my nature. I always make movies and think about what is the proper thing to do.
But they're all so far from your experience. Ice Storm 2 is very far from your background, right. Your experience, about as far as you can get. As you said
after
earlier.
My third movie, yeah, I started to go that road. far away but very close to my heart. So in a way, I can connect to it. On the other hand, I get to satisfy my curiosity about different genre and textures. Yeah,
Ang Lee
filmmaking. Yeah,
is our guest in studio, and his new movie is The Life of Pi. And I had mentioned earlier that Tobey Maguire was supposed to be at one time in the role of the writer in this movie, and Gerard Depardieu plays the cook, very small role in some ways, but central to the story. And you're dealing with amateur actors here. In fact, the main actor, as I said, is someone who had no experience, and yet 3,000, you went through 3,000, I read, young people to play this role?
Right.
Wow.
I wanted to do, because at that age range, in the book, when Pi drift across the Pacific, he was he's 16 in the book. So there's no 16 Indian boy that's a movie star that can carry the movie. So you go for the fresh faces. That's just how we do it. And we have an army of Indian agents that just go to every school in India, in the major cities, and have them read. So there's about 3,000.
That's amazing.
Gigs to read. I saw the videos, and over three rounds, it comes down to 12 kids that I get to work with them, try them out in Bombay. And Suraj was the chosen one, pretty obviously, yeah.
And four tigers. And the more ferocious ones were the female tigers, I read.
Right, yes.
More ferocity from... You talk about pre-visualizing, too. What is that process for you? How does that work?
It's an animation. The tool is so wonderful these days and pretty fast. It's like moving storyboard, moving drawings. They're animations. It's time-consuming to do them, but it provides a good visual a tool for me to communicate with the filmmakers to go about shots, and also a convincing tool to the studio that they, you know, help them to see it before they put down the money. So it's a great tool, and also for me, the virtual set. I don't have to go to the ocean to and a big boat to figure out how things work out.
You had this almost world-breaking tank in Taiwan, huh? That was built.
Yes, because no existing wave tank can accommodate what I want to do with the open ocean, so I had to create one. And I figured if I go to Taiwan, the government and people will help me to help creating that wave tank.
Well, let me say for listeners, you will never see a movie with more animals, and including...
In a small space.
Exactly, because it's a movie about a family that has a zoo, but there are flying fish, there's a beaching whale, there are meerkats, and sharks, and just about anything you can imagine. The whole movie begins with an array of animals, a display of animals. It's really unlike anything you've ever seen. You've been listening to a special edition of Forum. Our guest was Ang Lee, whose new film, Life of Pi, opened yesterday in theaters nationwide. I spoke with him on October 15th. Stay with us.